everybody sick but me. And I still got the best gown in the game.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch your cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Jim?
Yes, I can.
Woohoo. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
And by the way, we are libertarians, okay? And it's a culture, not a costume, okay, Gary Johnson? And Gary Johnson is not okay. That is not okay.
I saw that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So today was an awesome day. Was a fantastic day, and I was very happy, and I've been entertained by this whole thing. And what happened was I got a new phone. So what I'm gonna have to do? Oh, you thought I was talking about the debate zone? No. What I have to do is I threw my brand new phone that I'm like itching to keep toying with over to the side so I can stay focused today, because my ADD is like super kicking in because shiny new toy, literally shiny new toy.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So the vice presidential debate happened and I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Neither did I.
I kind of wanted to though. I kind of was interested, but then I was like, not really.
I really have no interest in watching the presidential debates. I don't even know, like, going down to that level. I mean, I guess it was supposed to be better than, like, you know, Biden and whoever was last year, right, or last time around. Who was running? I don't even remember. But from what I heard, Kane did a great impression of Joe Biden. So maybe it was entertaining. I don't know.
No, but come on, the Trump and Hillary thing, that's an event. That's a main event of America. Like, everything in America was building up to that. That was beautiful. It was an absolutely beautiful thing to watch. And we got two more to go, but this one is just like, these are just two boring politicians. Like, they're hateable because they're politicians, but I mean, in the sphere of politics, like, they're not any more hateable than most other people, you know. While Clinton or Klump are like the two worst things to ever hit the political scene ever, and they both happen to be the party's nominee.
Well, and I mean, even for people who take these elections, you know, seriously, how many people are actually ever swung by the vice presidential debate? Like, is that ever really been a thing? I can't remember one that was ever really like that was the tipping point for people. They're like, oh, I just can't decide between who I want to rule over me, so I'm gonna have to go with their second in command. They'll sell it to me.
Generally, you're right, but I have to say that there was one election just recently where people did do that, and that was Sarah Palin. Everyone got to see how crazy that lady was and go,
Well, yeah, but that was more of like a kind of like a freak show thing. It wasn't necessarily they were looking to get convinced by her, I don't think.
Oh, wow. This is just absolutely amazing that I'm up here. And I can't believe that Barack Obama is doing this terrible thing. And he's just going out there and waving the flags. And you got little kitties running around. And you could just sit around and pet them all day. And why do we need a president anyway? And I just want to eat cheeseburgers. And, oh, man, I just got to love that hunting. Right? What? So that was probably the only interesting vice presidential debate. Before that, you had what, like 2 seconds of one debate where he said to Dan Quayle, that other guy, I don't even remember his name. That was so interesting. Where he said to Dan Quayle, like, I know Jack Kennedy and you know Jack Kennedy. You know, shots fired. Oh, that was about it.
Oh yeah, I don't remember who that was either. That was a good line, but yeah, like that's what it is. You have to look for like bits and pieces. Otherwise, that's just. There's really no legitimate reason, even for people who care about this stuff, to actually watch it.
Yeah, and I care about it just because, not because I care like about the outcome. Like I'd rather have one person win over the other. I'm not going to say, you're the guest, but it's really just kind of like at the end I really don't care that much more than the other. It's more like, oh man, you know, it's going to be a little slightly worse, but no matter what, it's going to be bad either way.
Yeah, that's the opinion I have of it. I keep saying this, and people keep trying to argue with me, and I'm just like, no, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. There'll be a little tweaks if Hillary wins versus if Trump wins. Otherwise, the same agenda is going to get rolled out, so they're still going to keep doing the same thing. Yeah. It really doesn't matter.
But I'm a little bit of a political junkie, and I've always been, even back when I was a statist, and you know, it's fun to watch. It's kind of, now I have like a different perspective where I was like really like, oh wait, we can change the system and we're going to do all this stuff and we're going to make America great again. We're going to vote harder until everything gets fixed. And now it's just kind of like, oh, this is amazingly funny.
Well, it can be highly entertaining.
Yes. I get it. Just is. Yeah.
And it is good. Yeah. It is good fodder for, like, you know, somebody like me who likes to make memes. So that's pretty much the only reason I pay attention, just so I can catch little bits and pieces.
Too. Yeah, if Trump wins, there will definitely be a boom to the meme economy, and there already has been a boom to the meme economy. And it's not a bubble; it's a legitimate meme. It's a legitimate meme boost to the economy.
No, that's funny. I actually said something about that last year when it first became obvious that he actually had some kind of shot, and people were like, oh, you know, it's gonna be, you know, no matter who wins. I'm like, nah, with Hillary, there's almost, the jokes have already been so played out, and you can only take, I mean, the, you know, I think you were saying that last night, that, you know, the whole Hillary killing people is just funny at this point, but you know, you can only use that so many times. There's only so many ways you can make that meme. With Trump, you have all the, you know, he's been in the spotlight for a long time, but not enough that people have constantly made fun of him. This is like technically new territory. So
how far does you know, the Weekend at Bernie's joke go with Hillary Clinton? Like, it's funny, like it's hilarious, and then it's like, okay, can we have something new to laugh at? Whereas Trump is constantly saying things that are hilarious, either because they're dumb or just because, you know, it's really kind of like a shots fired moment. Like there was one where he said during the debate that Hillary has been fighting ISIS her entire adult life. I was like, yeah, what? Yeah. It's just little moments like this that just bring me joy. And, you know, they're great memeable things. You can make great memes out of those things.
Oh, sure. I saw one yesterday. Somebody posted, I didn't actually check to verify it, but supposedly it was an actual quote by him. And it was like a paragraph of, like, essentially Bushisms. It was just like half thoughts put together and acting, you know, made to look like full sentences, and actually like just strung together one after the other, where he literally said nothing for an entire paragraph worth of words, but everybody, you know, everybody cheered afterwards because he hit a couple of those key points in there. It's kind of like that, one of those word generators, you know, you just throw a bunch of words in there, and as long as you have just a couple of
complaint
keywords,
generator.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you have a couple of keywords, you know, spread out in there, people will hear those and they'll go, yeah, you know, get America in there and, you know, great again, stuff like that. You can say pretty much anything else in any order and people will just nod along.
And I like how he kind of changes it up a bit. He'll be like, we're going to make America not only great again, but we're going to make it even greater than it ever was again. It's like, how could it be again if it never was that great? We're going to make it so much greater than it ever was again. Wait, what? No.
Yeah.
Either way.
He is really special because normally politicians defy logic. He finds ways to defy language, which is really impressive. So he is, I mean, yeah, like I said, I really don't care who wins, but I think it will be more entertaining if he does. I definitely see it be more entertaining.
Yeah. Whereas Clinton is just going to be business as usual. You know, we're going to keep bombing everything. We're going to keep doing Fed injections of money. And, you know, we're going to have booms and bust cycles. It's going to happen under, you know, Trump, too. But, you know, on top of that, he's going to be like, you know, hanging out with Putin, riding around on bears with his shirt off.
Oh, there's a show.
You know, telling Merkel that she looks horrible. You know, just things like that. That'll make it gold.
Yeah, that may make it worth it. Probably will, because otherwise, yeah, like you said, it's just my thing that I was thinking about today was, you know, picturing ahead like three and a half years from now after a Trump victory, when all the Trump supporters are desperately trying to figure out how it's still Obama's fault all these years later now, because nothing really changed and they're still dealing with the same junk. But
yeah,
I don't think I was asking aloud if I would get an if any of them would apologize, but I, you know, of course not. They'll just short attention span. That's
fiend phone. For.
Short attention span will kick in, and they'll forget all about it.
Yeah. Oh, here comes the birthday boy.
Are you here, birthday boy?
It's my baptismal birthday, not my birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well. Yeah, it's your fiend's birthday. So happy 1 year to you. Yeah.
Yeah, happy anniversary of me inking the great sleep for buttons swap. One of the better trades I made. That's why I should be president, because I make great deals. Okay. We need somebody who make great deals. Because yeah, the fiends don't win anymore. We lose on racism. We lose on Alongside Night. These other podcasts are killing us. We can't win on audio. People using Yetis left and right. We need to build a wall, and we need to make Free Talk
Live. Our wristbands are made in China. China.
My very own flag was made in China. It's terrible. Just terrible. We got fiends gaining weight. Though. Fiends gaining weight after they win the Miss Fiendiverse competition. It's terrible. After
they just got done dieting. Yeah, got done dieting and then gained 10 pounds on purpose.
I like it when you come on and use alliteration, Jim. Done dieting. Yeah. And now we're bin breaking.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yes, I used to be a regular caller.
What did you back today? What's the day?
What day?
What year?
Are we talking?
Okay. As in back in
we're looking day. At. Yeah, we're looking about 2006 to maybe 2008, somewhere in there. I used to call in
a strong 2 year run.
Yeah, it was a good 2 year run, two seasons, two solid seasons. I had plans for
still out there on the internet. If anybody wants to go hear Vintage Jim Jesus calling into Free Talk Live, this is probably very findable on the internet.
Oh yeah, you do some digging.
I don't want to be so bold and be like, we're going to have this in the show notes, because I know I'm not going to go do the digging myself, and I don't want to like conscript anybody else to do it either.
Well, yeah,
then I would need to purchase a libertarian indulgence.
Yeah, well, since I'm writing the show notes tonight, I'm not digging for it either. So,
So anyway, there's Free Talk Live episodes out there with Vintage Jim Jesus that no one cares to go find.
Yeah, it was back when I lived in Kansas, so you would have not heard me calling as Jim Jesus, but it was Jim from Kansas. And yeah, like what I would and because I had
quite
called
the promotion.
Yeah, it was a ringing endorsement of Kansas. I used to call in and talk about things, but there was one time where I called in about cults, and almost every time I called in after that, they would always bring up like, oh, well, Mark's, and Ian would be like, oh, well, did you know Mark's in a cult? And he'd be like, oh, here we go again. And Mark used to hate when I called in because he knew that it was going to turn right into a conversation about, what was he in? It used to be the EST thing, but then it was Landmark Education. There we go. So like every time I called in, he would start rolling. You could hear him like rolling his eyes and going, oh, it's going to turn into a conversation about my cult again. And I would not be calling in about something about that. I'd be like, oh, do you hear Ron Paul did something today? And they'd be like, yeah. Do you think that's a cult, Jim? Well, that's my cult. Right into it. Like, no, it's not. Yeah.
You know, I know two people who've died in the last 24 hours. My stepdad's mom, who was 92, died. She'd been in ill health for a while. And then overnight, there was this comedian I knew who was only like in his mid-20s, maybe. And he woke up dead, as they say back in Ohio. Like, they went and found him.
Wake up dead.
They went and found him in this morning. Very good comedian named Tim Ramus, Raymus, if you want to look him up on YouTube. But yeah, I speak their names to Alpha Centauri, and I take comfort and blessed assurance in knowing that on the final day of judgment, when the final gold standard is handed down, I can call on the name of Ron Paul, and he will save me in this life and the next, where there is no government. Amen. That seminary education, 1 year of bringing it to the Freedom Fiends radio airwaves, ladies and gentlemen.
RuPaul be praised.
Ron Paul's drag race.
This guy's a queer.
This guy's queerer than a $3 bill.
I thought it was queer as the blazes.
Queerer than the blazes, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, Ron Paul, queerer than you and your quaint old-timey speak.
So, when I voted for Ron Paul in 2012 in Before Statist, somebody told me this guy who was an ardent Democrat and also a homophile said unto me, he said, Steve Miller, how can you vote for Ron Paul when Ron Paul had a homosexual couple who was raising money for Ron Paul, and Ron Paul couldn't even bring himself to shake their hands? And I was like, huh?
What?
And then I looked at the entire... Yeah. Yeah. Andy Moskowitz. He was an improv comedian, which is the surest leading indicator that someone's about to give you a sermon about politics. The second someone tells you they're an improv comic, you need to run in the opposite direction before they either, one, invite you to their show, which you need to say no to if that ever happens, or two, they're going to give you a sermon about politics, and oh man, is it awful.
Yeah.
See corresponding meme from Countersignal Memes for Faggy Goys, where it says, ha ha, my life is so messed up, poor choice after poor choice. Anyway, let me tell you who you should vote for.
Yeah. I can't stand when comedians start like thinking that, oh, I'm just going to say something political and that is funny. I never understood that whole thing. And I used to
was
like
it
David
you who
Cross.
Was telling me David Cross. Yeah.
I still do like David Cross. And then I used to listen to his stand up and it was funny, but every once in a while he'd be like, oh, you know, Bush is evil. Like, and even when I hated Bush, I was like, this is not funny.
No, and he's so angry, but you know, some people have to live up to their last name. I mean, look at Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Sextard.
Andy Sextard. Anthony. Whatever his name is. Some schmuck. Can't keep it in his pants or off his phone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
So, a lot of people come to Freedom Fiends, this very program to which we're listening right now, be it on terrestrial radio, be you on an alien spacecraft in Alpha Centauri, or be you somebody who is listening to us via the podcast on the RSS feed. One thing you turn to this show for is for intense scientific, cutting-edge social science. And Jim Jesus, you have developed an arc of how YouTube users degenerate. Would you care to explain your scientific findings from hours and hours of watching YouTube, which again counts as a PhD in today's world? Dr. Jesus,
I have like a double PhD.
A PhD.
Yeah, I was that a man boob joke?
The last time I started talking about men's breasts, we got kicked off a radio station. I'm not going to be replicating that.
Okay, so when females talk about their own boobs, that's fine. But when we're talking about men's boobs, that's totally off limit. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've noticed that there is definitely a turning point when it comes to YouTubers, and you know that it's usually bad anyway. They're usually bad YouTubers anyway, but then they take like this hard turn into even worse. And I've noticed that I know the street they turn down on, and it's DMCA way. So you had Venom Fang X, who was a Christian. Creationist YouTuber who was like, out of all the creationist YouTuber, he was like the worst, but for some reason he was the most popular because that's just how the internet works. The worse you are, you know, the more popular you are. So he was like at the most popular at the time, and then he started filing a bunch of DMCAs against Thunderfoot, and then he just went crazy. He started talking about like geocentrism, and he moved to some like almost like cult university, and just went downhill from there. And even like Christians don't like him anymore. He had Stefan Molyneux, who was making decent stuff, and then he kind of went down cult lane, and then, you know, it was kind of bad. But then he was like, you know what, people Trump don't hate road. Me enough. Let's no, it was the DMCA first. He DMCA'd a critic of his, and then after the DMCA, he went like, well, libertarians aren't giving me money anymore because, you know, I abused the state to silence a critic. So all hail Trump. And to, you know, that's when he turned down DMCA way to Hell Road. And now there's another one who just and I'm predicting this is going to get way worse. But Lacey Green, who is a YouTuber, well, started out as a YouTuber. She used to do like atheist videos and ooh, sex, like I'm a sex positive atheist. And then it started talking about feminism, and then it just went way down that road into the really nasty parts of feminism, which is not even really feminism anymore. It's just outrage culture. Everything's outrageous and everything is offends me.
I need a listener to make a map of all the roads and streets you're talking about and make a fictitious city of bad YouTube.
And I'll put it on Google Street View, and you know, I'll put a little dude in there so you can actually take a virtual tour.
This episode will be like a Tolkien model. It'll be like a Tolkien book. It'll come with 10 pages of maps at the beginning.
Yeah. So they were on like, you know, the upper class area of feminism way, and then it kind of goes across the tracks into outrage county. So she kept going down that route, and you know, that area is bad, but I think it's going to take an even worse turn. I think we're going to start seeing like the femtheist thing, you know, where every man needs to be castrated, because now she had just filed a DMCA against what they like to call the S lords, S being a short for a curse word I'm not allowed to say on radio, but an S lord.
It rhymes with spit.
Yeah. Spitlord YouTuber, which is, you know, like a smaller time YouTuber. She's got like what, like a couple million people. Or just 1.5 million subscribers. YouTube
shop.
And she was just a little mom pa YouTube hole in the wall, you know,
neighborhood YouTube.
Who was making, like, you know, thoughtful and polite critiques of her, and she sent some DMCAs her way because you know, triggered or something. And now everybody's blowing up. There was like I think there was a New York Times article about how terrible she is. And the internet's kind of blowing up on her. And because of this, I have a feeling that she's going to take a turn for the worse. Now, I don't know which turn that's going to be. I don't know if she's going to go like, well, let's just castrate all men and put them in zoos. Or is it going to be like, no, maybe she'll take the red pill and turn into an alt-righter. It could be either way.
Hold on. We're going to put all men in zoos. How are we going to fit all the men on top of Mount Olympus?
I don't know. Well, so anyways, I think
that's the exacerbated side is I bargained for when I agreed to do an episode with Jim Jesus. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make some idiotic pun joke, and he's gonna give me the like 1 to 2 seconds of silence, just followed by breathing heavily into Mike as show of disapproval for taking fruit that hung low on the comedy tree.
I would have to say, when it comes to the comedy tree, I think the pun is a little bit higher than the people always come up to me, which is how you started the show, right? And there was a joke.
Oh, that no, I was making Phillips fun did. Of Trump.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But there's a joke that Emo Phillips does, and it kind of makes fun of that. Like, you know, people always come up to me and say, Emo, do people really come up to you?
yeah. Oh, Emo. He was just here. He's in my cover photo on the Book of Feces right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He was just, and I was criticized for having a lack of racial diversity in that one photograph. This has been an issue. Somebody made a spreadsheet of all the comedy shows in Philadelphia and figured out the percentage of minorities and women and gays, and they assigned it a diversity score. And a lot of shows didn't get a high diversity score, and now they're coming under fire. And
see.
Yeah.
Emo is absolutely fantastic, and here's proof. And it also relates back to what I'm saying is proof of that as well. That Emo's been in the game for how long? You know, he's the best weirdo in the game by far. And the reason why, he never filed the DMCA against people who said that thing about him.
Nope. Never once.
Nope, never once. Say what you will. Say what you will about Emo's weird appeal.
So what happens post DMCA, though?
You say they get worse,
but what exactly happens?
This is the Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Furries. Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries. And, ew. You know, as the author, as the co-author of the O'Reilly Media book, YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts, with former minor YouTube star Alan Listufka.
I didn't climb the charts. With a bullet.
Yeah. Is that bingo? I don't know.
No.
This one's an obscure. Yeah, this is an obscure trivia.
Yeah, this is obscure YouTube trivia. That's what was playing when I listened to you guys a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this Lacey Green character actually has a show on MTV, but we were debating off air whether or not MTV's still relevant. But I guess the kids watch it.
You know, they used to play videos when I was a kid. When I was 30, they used to play videos.
Music video? What?
Videos.
What's that?
Yeah. You know, with all those new hip happening bands like Nirvana, you know, those ones that you can really snap your fingers to and they got a good beat.
Oh, I heard them on the oldies station.
The kids can slam dance to it.
I only listen to Bomb and Flipper.
You should only listen to Bomb and Flipper.
Hey, I listen to Bomb Flipper and The Residents.
Happy 1,000th, 100th, what is it? It's your year anniversary.
It's my 1 year chip.
Yeah. Did you get your chip? It's in the mail.
Okay. Chip's in the mail.
Hey, when you're done going to a country show with your boy, with your bae at and you're done sitting on your Bipcot flag, what do you use to get the mud and the blood and the beer from the country show out of your Bipcot flag?
There's not too much. Okay, so there's grass. So
if really there ain't mud, blood, and beer, it ain't country. That's what I think.
I was actually about to make a meme about people who say, "Well, I only like real country, like Johnny Cash," because that's the musical equivalent of saying fiscally conservative, socially liberal.
I bet you've never argued with anyone like me before.
No. I don't think that old country is the only country, but you do know the reference mud and the blood and the beer, right, Steve?
Every 28 days, yeah.
No, it's from a Goy Named Jew by Johnny Cash. They ended up fighting out in the street in the mud and the blood and the beer.
Oh, yeah. Did that start an alt fight?
Alt fight?
Alt fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, woke Jeremy up, at least.
There we go. Exacerbated side. Got another one. There you start a counter.
I'm not feeling well. You know that.
I'm comedy triggered.
What is everybody sick with? What do you have, Jeremy?
I have no idea. My kids came down with something. I got a sore throat. And now my
things are germ transmitters.
I know.
Man.
Yeah, my kids are relatively healthy for the most part.
Good cats, man. Cats don't have many illnesses that can spread to people if you're not pregnant.
How many people died of feline cancer during AIDS? A lot.
Right.
They got feline leukemia. Yeah, that was one of the biggest things that was killing people at the beginning.
And if you're pregnant, feline
leukemia, that humans never got unless you had no immune system.
If you're pregnant, you'll catch talk show plasmosis.
Yeah, what's that parasite that cats have that gives to old ladies and makes them crazy cat ladies?
Talk show plasmosis. It's what people on. Hello, Joe. Do you know that lady used to be a lawyer on The Simpsons?
No.
They show her backstory at one point. The crazy cat lady. Yeah, she used to be a respectable member of society, and then she got
lawyers
cats.
Lawyers are respectable.
Yeah.
Randy England's respectable.
So, what's the name of this episode, Jeremy?
The name of it. Yep.
Oh, down somewhere. Not on my paper, though.
Something about.
Oh, I got it.
Make a U-turn at DMCA way.
What is it, Jeremy?
Extradite Julian Assange for bad audio crimes and a
there we go.
Trial in BIP. What?
And I have a trial in BIP court.
Oh, trial in BIP court. Yeah.
Something like that.
Julian Assange is hero to all.
Not after last night, man.
No, he's even more of a hero to Jim, and I kind of agree.
Oh, because
I am going to pardon him of all audio crimes
because he spit posted the world.
Yes,
I stayed up for it.
A lot of people did.
You and the hamster. I don't know, man. See, I was up
with Michael Dean and his weird friends, my fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Say that Michael Dean is wrong on this.
So last night, Julian Assange, Julian Ass Angel, as Rush Limbaugh calls him, and I may start calling him that now that he's spit posted at everyone. He announced this thing that he was going to be giving a press conference and maybe releasing some documents that would affect the American election. and it was going to be at like, he was in, you know, he's in the Ecuadorian sovereign land of London in their embassy and appearing via video to Berlin, where WikiLeaks was having their 10-year anniversary, and they trolled the world. So they didn't release anything, and it started at 3 a.m. East Coast time, and it started late, and it started with an hour and 40 minutes of some lady from WikiLeaks, like, showing a slideshow about the history of WikiLeaks and talking about WikiLeaks and, you know, not even really saying, like, and, you know, he'll be here soon. And I'm watching online, and there's, like, you know, 68,000 people watching live. And it's all of the comments are Trump fans, pretty much. It's all people that were awake that thought, you know, he's going to release something on Hillary because Hillary wants him dead. You know, that's going to change everything. And he
Make
got on.
Ass Angels great again.
Yeah. He got on and had the worst audio. I'm going to play a little bit of this audio. Like, people. Yeah. brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, WikiLeaks. I mean, if he just picked the mic up and held it in his hand instead of having it 2.5 feet away. And I think it was a Yeti. It looks the size of a Yeti. It's got a...
Oh, he has open mic technique, does he? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, like a newscaster, but, you know, using whatever the Ecuadorian embassy has. So I immediately made an image about bad audio and him being guilty of bad audio hate crimes against humanity. And if all these people like posted on it, like, oh, Michael, you're such a purist. You're such an audio Nazi. And I'm like, no, go listen to it. And anybody who listened to it, this is actually somehow they cleaned up the audio in post on this video. But I was not the only person. Like, Alex Jones threw a fit listening to this. And the fact that, like, you know, because he stayed up too to broadcast live. And but
if
I wasn't watching.
Purifying audio were as easy as purifying water.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, all Assange had to do was pick up the mic instead of trying to look like a news guy. But here we go.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
All right. He's and in some cases, sympathy and the thrill of doing something that's important. So I don't want to...
He said a lot, too.
A map of all the important people.
Which microcassette did he record this on?
Necessarily isn't a suggestion that everyone I'm about to mention is not important. It's a mixture. First of all, the committed team of brave technicians and journalistic staff.
Brave technicians. Where are the brave technicians? And I swear that sounds somehow cleaned up. It's better than it sounded live. I don't know what they did in post. But.
Jeremy must have got in there and cleaned it up.
Yeah, Jeremy.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I can fix it.
Yeah, so yes, basically spit posted everybody, I think.
And it was worth the bad audio.
I don't know if this troll is as good as when that Korean cult told everybody they'd cloned a human baby. And it was a slow news week, and they all like went to Korea to go talk to this cult, and they were like, "Hey, well, here's our scripture, and here's our message to everyone, and we'll bring out the baby in a little bit. Don't worry about the baby. Let's talk about our cult for a little while." And da 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 da, and they never produced the clone baby.
Yeah.
But it was a slow news week, so what are you going to do? No.
Have you guys seen the modular body video?
Oh, what's that?
I've seen it live in person.
Oh, man. I'm going to send you guys this. You can look at it during the break. And it's one of the best trollings ever. Worms.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Meow.
Best meow in the game. You like that? You need a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Like you're on radio.
Hi, this is Ben Carson with the Freedom Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, that sounded like Carlos Morales' guitar playing. It was so tepid.
That's libertarian inside baseball, y'all. Man.
He makes love like he plays guitar, I'd be willing to bet. Just looking at the guy.
You know, I'm going to call social services. Anyway.
my block list is longer than yours, Steve.
I have block list envy. I'm not going to lie to that. And I expected a man of your height to not have such a lengthy block list, but apparently you do. I remember when Donald Trump went to that first debate and he said, look at the size of my hands. Now see how long my block list is, because every one of these fingers has gone on the keyboard and gone over Brooklyn Buddy on Fecal Book. And we were discussing this during the break, but I was not a prolific blocker of people on the Book of Feces up until such time as about a year ago when I became a Freedom Fiend. I become a fiend. I get on the air. I think either my first or second episode in the same room as a Vietnamese dude I was dating at the time, and he falls asleep and you can hear him snoring.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was funny times.
Your then humble beginnings.
Then on the second episode, I got on with Lusander Fiend, and I was I didn't really know Lou at the time. We were just talking about whatever, and he starts talking about organ donation and how it's just controlled by these random government bureaucrats who just decide who live and die based on whatever. And he's like, and people, you know, they get all horrified about buying and selling organs, but that would be way fairer and way more transparent than just someone decides who lives and who dies. And I said, Lou, not only do you have a good point, but I'm so in favor of a free market for organs that I have an organ that I rent out from time to time. And we didn't lose any stations for that, but I talked about men's breasts and we lost a station. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I recall.
Good times on the Freedom Fiends.
So how did that lead to you having a larger block list?
Because you instilled this virtue. You said, Steve, I block somebody because X reason. And I said, you know what? Maybe this person that I'm having this struggle with right now doesn't need my proximity in order to get my forgiveness. Maybe I could say, you know what? I bless your grind. Have a good life. But peace. You know, daddy doesn't want to hear it from now on. If you're going to come at me, and your first line of argument is you're a white male.
effing white male.
Yeah.
Get it right.
You know, here's the thing. A lot of people, if you block them, first of all, you shouldn't tell people you're blocking them. The best thing to do.
Block post.
Is, what's that thing? What's that thing called, Jim? That kind of blocking where they don't know it?
It's shadow banning.
Shadow banning. Yeah. Or hell banning.
What's this?
This is, Steve's intrigued.
I am. Teach me your ways.
The only way, well, there is a friend of mine did make a plugin for WordPress that does hell banning, but it only works if you require registration on your blog for anyone to even read the blog or to read the comment. No, it's read the blog, which doesn't really work for blogs. It works for forums, you know, but, Actually, I think YouTube kind of does it. Does it? Don't they, Jim?
Yeah, YouTube does it. There is a way to get them to know that they're banned, but they have to kind of think about it for a second and go, why don't I see the other person's comment if you block them on Google+. But if you just block them on YouTube on their channel, they can still post stuff. They'll still see their stuff. It just won't show up.
And no one else will see it. Yeah.
And no one else will see it. They'll see it.
Shadow banning.
They can come back. Yeah, they can come back to the video and see their comment at the very top of the page. Because they usually put your comments at the top.
But no one else sees it.
Yeah, but no one else
sees it. It's brilliant. Shadow banning and hell banning are the best way. When in environments where you can do them, are the best way to troll trolls. You know, because if you block people, they come back with a different, you know, they make a sock puppet. But if you just block it so only they can see it, they just suddenly, like, they don't get any play, and they get frustrated and go away.
I find the best moment to block somebody is right after they write me about 750 words all in one comment about what a piece of fecal material I am, and then right at that exact instant, I block them and am just gone. And the words are all for naught.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of muting the people. I like muting people because then they'll still keep writing to me and I just ignore them.
But you don't see
and then they just them. Yeah.
Twitter is a feature.
Twitter you can do that and Google you can do that too. Google Plus, which turns it in turn
no one
makes your YouTube your YouTube comments will notify you on anything related to any Google product. So if it's someone responds to you on Google, it'll show up in your Google Plus notifications, which is also
what should
on
you
YouTube.
Do if you're being tagged all hours of the day and night by your co-hosts?
Ask them not to. I've offered to opt you out, but you don't do it.
Never. I know that the Fiend host version of Facebook has a turn off constant tagging option. I just haven't activated it yet.
I just want a way to like turn off notifications for likes. If I could do that, I'd be much happier. You can't do it.
Oh, what a humble brag. Oh, I'm just so awash with likes for things I do.
It's annoying because I get a lot of stuff that's going on, and I'm like, I don't care if people like my stuff. I don't. Because I post so much stuff, and so many people like see it.
I don't do it for fans. I do it for critics.
I recently turned off, like, this is wrong. That's what I
recently turned off all audio notifications on Twitter, on desktop and mobile. It's really nice turning it off.
I've never had those on. I turned off the audio.
Oh, yeah.
I turned off the audio on everything.
Oh, I get notifications for whenever Trump tweets. It's a great throughout the day because it's always just.
Do you really? Is there a way to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just turn on notifications. Mm-hmm. I get them and Gambling Podcast and about three other accounts. You're one of them. But whatever they do, Ben Stone.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them, and Ben Stone.
Really, when I tweet, and when Trump tweets, and Ben Stone tweets, you get an audio notification.
That is a really odd.
and the sports gambling podcast. Don't forget them.
Oh. Hey Jim, do you use Chrome?
That makes it all better.
Yeah, there's a Chrome extension to hide likes on Facebook notifications.
I've tried those, and they've never worked for me. Is there one that works well now?
I don't know. It's from years ago. I'm just Googling things for you.
Yeah, there just needs to be an option in Facebook where I just.
So, did anyone
see
this presenting Oscar the modular body video?
I watched part of it, and then we were coming back from the break.
It's creepy and it's trolling.
I couldn't hear it because we were because you guys were talking, and I didn't turn you down. But I saw it. It was crazy looking.
Yeah, it's you said. Well, it is trolling. It's sci-fi, but it's presented as a press release on video. It's some foreign scientists with indistinct Scandinavian accents saying that they've come up with this 3D printed meat human cell substance, and they formed a body out of it. And the guy puts together like the head module or the brain module, the heart module, the lung module, and then puts some kind of flipper like arms on it. And it starts crawling across the table. And it looks like if you put a mouth on it, it would say, kill me. But presenting Oscar, the modular body, if anyone wants to look that up.
But don't we all look like if you put a mouth on us, we would say, kill me.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I said this on the Book of Feces, but I want to say this on the air as well. In honor of Henny Youngman, I just want to say that Gary Johnson has a face that looks like he slept on top of it.
Was anybody hurt? I don't think anybody was hurt, though, right?
What, by him sleeping on top of his own face? No, that doesn't. Yeah. That's not aggression. Yeah, there's nothing stopping you.
But I mean, his own face wasn't hurt.
But you don't go. You don't go on CNN like looking like that. It looks like he's like a pair of boots he left out in the sun.
He really does have like the oddest haircut I've ever seen any like quote unquote serious politician have. It looks like someone. He was like, I wanted a bowl cut.
Park.
Yeah, like I want a bowl cut, and they were like looking around for a bowl that would fit his head. And they're like, "Well, my children's cereal bowl is over here. Let's try this."
if it comes out after the campaign that he was trying to be Lincoln-esque, I want you to know that by a Lincolnist behind will blow my stack because I absolutely hate Lincoln and I hate Lincolnists. The end.
Where did that come from? I don't know.
I get fired up about Lincoln from time to time. It happens.
Wasn't he just calling me the weird one, by the way?
I just want to make sure that happened on record. But I get fired up about Lincoln. What do you want? I got fired up about William Henry Harrison the other day. It's not too much farther off.
How can you get fired up about him? I love that guy.
So I was walking out of the house.
President.
Who's our best president? I was walking out of the house.
I had a ghost tour. And my roommate said, "You have a ghost tour? It's raining really hard." And I said, "Yeah, well, I'm a gamer and I'm going to do it anyway." She goes, "You're going to catch pneumonia." And I said, "Well, at least then William Henry Harrison and I'll have something in common." And she said, "That's not true because you're both from Ohio." Keeping it real. That's how my roommate and I roll.
You still doing ghost tours?
Oh, yeah. I had a really good ghost tour the other night.
Explain ghost tours for the listeners who are just tuning in.
If you listeners are in Philadelphia ever for any reason, maybe you've got a crack addiction. Maybe maybe you're here to research
the etymology of the word yo for a government grant at a state university in Pennsylvania that's better than the state pen.
Maybe you're interested in having your luggage lost by the Philadelphia airport or something like that. But you can come here, have all this done. And one entertainment option for you at night is to take the Ghost Tour of Philadelphia, which is on ghosttour.com. And it's a 90-minute haunted tour. And a guide, sometimes me, sometimes someone else, will take you. And tell you some, usually between like 6 to 9 haunted tales throughout Philadelphia. It's a walking tour. You walk like about a mile and a half. I'm in costume. I have a little lantern. And I tell stories. And
you still have your purple cape held on with a raven pin.
I have multiple capes. I've got a black cape. I've got a red cape. I've got a purple cape. And I missed the second part of what you said.
Do you still use a Fiend phone button with the little crow on it passing for a raven?
That wound up not being good. No, I don't. I fixed the clasp. The buttons wound up not being, they don't really hold.
And we're out.
His weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Man, I love this headline. Tim Kaine clearly ate rocket pop during Pence's rebuttal. His face is all covered in like candy.
did you see that next to Tim Kaine's head were the words "will dictate" because they had the Constitution like behind him, but apparently there's a clause that says "will dictate" and then it says it was right next to Tim Kaine's head for a good the entire debate. That provided me with a goodly number of Charlesy Lawsies.
Why couldn't it be Kaine from the WWE? that would have been a formidable foe for,
because
for sure.
That would have been enjoyable.
He's actually a really smart guy too.
Who, Tim Kaine?
No. Kaine from the WWE.
Triggered.
I don't know. I know absolutely nothing about Tim Kaine.
Best description I've ever seen of Tim Kaine was comedian Tim Butterly of Delco Proper, Philly comic, bless his grind. Follow him on social media, Tim Butterly. When he said that Tim Kaine seems like the kind of dude who laughs and you ask what he was laughing at, and he says, "Oh, I thought I heard something that sounded like a joke."
Wait, what am I laughing at? Like that?
Yep. Hey there. Oh, man. Ooh,
I bet if I laugh right now, people won't think I'm awkward. Oh, no one else is laughing.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. What's with all the weirdos running for president this time around? He had Ted Cruz, who was, people kept saying he was a Zodiac killer because he was so awkward and weird.
I don't know if it's just me, but I also got a definite gay choir director vibe out of Ted Cruz too.
Yeah, the other one was the
he was a preacher's kid. I think he definitely wanted to know a man's touch.
Kasich, there we go. That's his name. I had to think about it because that guy was so irrelevant. But Kasich, Steven Crowder said that he's the kind of guy that you would expect to show up with a six pack of Zima at a party. That sounds about right. And he was always eating.
Yo, if you're trying to keep ladies at the party in the 90s, and you have to remember that he's governor of Ohio, and Ohio's always, I'm an Ohio native, Ohio's always a good like 5 to 10 years behind the rest of the culture. And if you're trying to keep some big-haired Bon Jovi listening Ohio woman at your party, showing up with a case of Zima is not actually a bad strategy to go with. I'm going to defend Kasich here. When in Ohio, do as the Ohioans do. Get those ladies some Zima.
But it's not the 90s anymore. It's literally the current year. It's literally the current
wine. Do not trigger me. Wow. Do not trigger me on the air, James.
All right. Then fine. He's bringing Takiza to the party. That's the kind of guy he is.
That sounds foreign. No, you're building a wall and you're making the Takizas pay for it.
He's always talking about his dad. Well, my dad was a postal worker. He was a great guy. He was a backbone of this country.
He didn't shoot anybody.
He didn't shoot one single person. And he's always like cramming his face with food. Like, and everybody's so weird. And now I guess Kaine is weird. I did not see the debate, but that's what the general consensus was. He was just being a big awkward weirdo. Maybe I should run for president. I'll have a chance. Yeah.
Run as a libertarian. You can get a lot of catered meals if Austin Peterson's FEC filings are any indication.
Yeah, Johnson. Dude, don't forget about Johnson. He got the nominee. He's the only awkward one that actually got the top of the ticket. And he's just like, you know, I'm glad everyone in Aleppo's okay. Or something.
Yeah. I don't know where that is.
I don't know if you want to run as a libertarian. I see a lot of people getting mad because, I guess, Daryl W. Perry announced that he's still going to run anyway as a libertarian, despite not getting the nomination, and everybody's very upset about that.
Yeah, Daryl W. Perry, who's the... I guess he's one of the co-hosts of Free Talk Live, the other ANCAP show. He's running... He ran against Gary Johnson and lost. I think he got, 5% of the final ballot for the
something
delegates.
Something like that, maybe.
And yeah, so when he was my candidate, I'm just going to be a write-in candidate.
My preferred candidate in the libertarian field was Joy Wehmeyer, because Joy Wehmeyer had a political advisor who was invisible and only Joy could see her, and she's talked to Joy since Joy was 5. And I said, absolutely, we need Joy as president, and then we need Joy's imaginary friend Becky as vice president. And it would be a barrier breaker. How many invisible Americans are there? We don't even know, and finally they'll be represented in the vice presidency. But then she dropped out and I had to endorse Perry because Talk Show Host Alliance. More Freedom Feeds after the break.
More awkward candidates. and co-hosts.
Orbs.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiendphone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
And I hope that went out.
We're back on the drivers. So we forgot to tell you this hour that Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Hillary's a Clinton. Hillary's a Clinton, a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. And Donald Trump is a liar, a proto-fascist, and his toupee smells like grilled steak. And we are back.
Well done, steak. Well done. Because he eats a steak well done. And don't forget that Kane and Pence are also statists, and they smell terrible, and words, other things, bad.
Tim Kaine is a liar, a socialist, and his laughter is awkward.
And his face is covered in candy.
You know, he's also got one of those wax faces. Like, you know, those people that like look like their face is made of wax, or would lend heavily to a wax treatment at some sort of wax museum. He's definitely got that like waxen look to him. Paraffin. Tim Paraffin Kaine. But he's going to be our next president because, you know.
Hillary's going to have the goods on herself and she's going to have her offed. Is that what you're... Okay.
Yeah. My stepdad's mom had some info on Hillary. That's how she died at age 92. So
any of that hell stuff about her is actually, you know, as serious. Well,
she was supposed to be dead by now, and it's like, yo, don't go getting like people's hopes up.
I said it when all that started coming out. I was like, well, this is great that I kind of wanted to see her win. Maybe she could, you know, push Harrison for the title. I think that would be a public service.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, she can provide for everybody. The race is on, and then. There's a and yeah, who knows?
And yeah,
who knows what'll actually and yeah, and ooh, yeah, great radio, some vocalized pauses. 1 year on the air, folks. 1 year on the air. The experience has brought me to here to chanting and ooh, and yep.
Well, it could be worse. You could be David Lee Roth. Yeah, that was always a nightmare.
What are you, trans David Lee Roth? You're not David Lee Roth.
No.
David Lee Roth's a social
David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth is probably the worst person they ever put in front of a microphone for radio. The worst.
Oh.
And you can actually go online.
When he did the talk, I remember this.
Yeah,
I
saw when he played Stern.
They used to heavily advertise his show on SEPTA buses, and getting your piece of media advertised on the Philadelphia public transit system is the kiss of death for your chances at any sort of commercial success, because that shows you've gone for the lowest common denominator, and it's always the worst movies, the worst shows that get advertised on buses and subways.
Work for Howard Stern.
Oh, no, I don't know if I've never seen him on in Philly on
okay.
When he did it, it was way, you know, back in the
That was a long time ago. I'm talking about, you know, in recent years. I've never once seen a movie advertised on there and then go on to kill it. It's always just schlock.
Okay.
Yep. So it's like a TV show that's advertised during football. The only reason that they're heavily pushing a show that's on during football is because they want that larger audience to know about Numb Thrillers or Murder by Numbers.
Another Law and Order or CSI clone.
The Apprentice. Yeah. Some crime procedural. NCIS.
You're fired. Yeah. The only time I ever thought that show was mildly entertaining was Penn Jillette when he was on. And then after he got fired, it was like, why am I still watching this? This is not even interesting anymore. You know, Adam Carolla got kicked off early in the game and all the funny people got kicked off. And I was like, okay, no more Lisa Lampanelli, no more Penn, no more Adam Carolla. I'm gone. Now it's too serious.
This was Celebrity Apprentice, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course. No, this is just nobodies, and then they went later on to do great things.
Don't get in my face. I don't know. I don't know. I'm too morally pure to watch anything starring Donald Trump. I'm on the Artist for Bernie Page, and I have a reputation to maintain. Also, I'm headlining Juggalos for Jill Stein, and I don't know if we've gotten to the plugs portion of the program yet, but I will be at the Punchline, which is the new comedy club in Philly tomorrow. If you're in the Philly area, you want to go to the show, let me know. I can get you in for free. And then
Heckler's got to pay full price.
I am also headlining an event called Juggalos for Jill Stein, which is an event set out to turn out the Juggalo vote for Jill Stein. And that will
really
be,
because my plan was I was going to bring out the Juggalo for the Harambe vote. We're gonna be fighting.
There's a Vegas line out right now about will Harambe have more write-in votes than Bernie Sanders?
Is there really?
And Bernie's a heavy favorite, but yeah.
Yeah.
You bips out for Harambe.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to endorse my candidate. I got a lot of serious candidates that I'm looking into, people that I think will really inflict some positive change. No, some good ones. I have I have Cthulhu. He's a candidate on my list so far. Harambe, of course. Sweet Meteor of Death. I mean, these Harambe's are candidates strong who are
on childcare.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was an entrepreneur, right? He was a small business owner. He had his
a self-named man.
Yeah, he had his daycare going, and it was going strong. And then the government had enough of it and put an end to that real quick, in the most violent way, because they're racist.
He's the Lysander Spooner of the simian community.
And they showed him. So I mean, he knows what it's like to take care of a small business, and he knows what it's like to deal with the government bureaucracy, in the worst possible way. He's up on my list. But then again, you have Sweet Meteor of Death. He can actually end all wars and all poverty.
Why do you assume the Sweet Meteor of Death is a he misogynist? Whoop whoop.
Oh God! Please send hate mail to Jim at jimjesus.com /FDR donate.
FDR donate. What? Please donate a wheelchair. Yeah. Please donate polio vaccines. yeah, this Juggalos for Jill Stein show is going to be great, though. The woman I have who's set up to play Jill Stein has the exact same haircut. And once we put Juggalo paint on her...
Jill Stein. Whoop, whoop. Well, I hope there's not going to be Wi-Fi there. We wouldn't want her to get cancer. So
the hatchet party.
Yeah, hatchets are fine. Wi-Fi, cell phones, those gotta be left to the door because they cause cancer, according to her, at least.
I wonder if she supports hatchet control.
That's a good question.
Need common sense hatchet control in this country.
Yeah,
hatchet registration. I think if you cut down trees, you shouldn't be given a hatchet. You know, if you've got a history of Arbor Day violations,
you're trying to cut down a tree with a hatchet. You may have a lot of time on your hands. I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
This is exactly how somebody for hatchet control would phrase the argument. Because you're not going to learn the difference between an axe and a hatchet or anything like that. They're all assault axes.
Well, someone's also got to close the Bed Bath & Beyond loophole, clearly.
Is that where their Wi-Fi goes to? Is the loophole? Wow.
All right. But yeah, whoop. I'm sorry. I'm going to probably have to throw my vote probably to Harambe or Sweet Meteor. Cthulhu's definitely a contender. I don't know. It's going to take me a while to think about it, but yeah.
Look into nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody has a good record. Knows what the
end the war is
going to do. Nobody's going to end the war.
Nobody will fulfill all their campaign promises.
Yeah. But the problem is he doesn't make any campaign promises. Sweet Meteor of Death does. You can even check his Twitter account. Zer's Twitter account.
If nobody made a Twitter account, then that person wouldn't even have a Twitter account, though.
Yeah, @smod, just beautiful Twitter account. And
smod.
Zer's always on top of all of the issues. Zer's
smod always, is how someone from Boston says smart, by the way.
Yeah, he's smod. He's a smod guy.
He's smod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his position on it? I'm assuming he's not pro-life.
No, he's not pro-life. He's not pro-choice either. He has like a very nuanced position that, you know, everybody needs to die immediately. In a fiery death. And that's a campaign I can get behind. Because not only that, but that's the best way and the only way to stop war. I mean, nobody says he can, and nobody says they can really stop the war and actually do it, right? But he can. Zer can. So, excuse me. I'm sorry. Sorry. Zer can definitely end all wars, all poverty, all crime, all of it. And just with one single blow.
The shot heard around the world.
Yeah. No, that was Harambe. You won't hear the Sweet Meteor of Death. It'll just happen.
You don't hear the Sweet Meteor of Death. The Sweet Meteor of Death hears you.
Yeah.
In Soviet Russia, Meteor of Death, not so sweet. Tastes like borscht.
I feel bad for Harambe. It's bad enough everybody was already starting to forget about him. You know, the memes are keeping him alive, but no.
Cincinnati Zoo had to delete their Twitter account.
They deleted it altogether?
Yeah. Because every day people were just, because they were getting trolled, because they had direct messaging turned on for visitors, and people would be like, hey, I'm on like I-35. How far am I? They're like, okay, you need to take exit 28. And he's like, all right, well, I've taken exit 28. What are you going to take? And they're like, huh? They're like, because you've already taken away Harambe, the greatest thing ever.
Well, that's what happens when you kill a gorilla publicly.
Yeah, you get trolley trolls.
Bips out for Harambe.
Look up that episode of the old Lalberts. Recommended.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
to this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Of clowns or murderers. Go ahead, take a handful.
I say we let millions of them into our country. There's clown refugees coming from the Faygo crisis.
What was it?
Fiend phone.
We need to build a wall around Ringling Brothers and make, or build a wall around the clowns and make Ringling Brothers pray for it.
That is exactly what
this is. The Fiend phone.
Oh, more furry.
Random re-education interruption exigency system. Or furries.
Yeah, yes, or the panda furry. Buffet.
Mmm. Does it have real panda?
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, when are you going to get Missy Cooper to do some photo shoots with a Bipcot flag for Fun with Flags with Missy Cooper for me, for us?
Well, I tried that, and it did not go very well.
What'd she say? Steve, you know that his sister is the actress who plays Sheldon Cooper's sister, right?
I've never seen the show, but sure.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a very good show.
What'd she say? Let's talk about your family not liking the Fiends.
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, that's a big issue right now, actually. But no, I asked her to do it, and she said she needed to know more about it. When I just said it was, you know, just a fun thing we were doing, and I tried to explain that, you know, her nieces, one of whom is one of her goddaughters, I said, you know, they took a picture with it. It's no big deal. And she told me she couldn't because, you know, she had to worry about her image.
I understand that.
As a public. And yeah, it was just, yeah, but it was just kind of infuriating because it goes along. There's a deeper seated problem with the two of us. So,
You know what? With the two of you? Wait, what?
There's a deeper seated problem with the two of us. And this is just part of it. So,
really?
It's kind of
I'm sorry.
No, well, you know, my family doesn't really understand what I do, and they don't want to.
Oh, that's the problem. The problem is, you're an anarchist, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. Well,
so, I can kind of see it, because I have heard of, like, people who have done, like, talks or whatever, and then it turned out that, oh, they're, you know, it wasn't really what they thought it was. It was some sort of, like, Holocaust denial or something like that. And so everybody's, like, really skeptical about, wait, you want me to pose with what?
Yeah.
I need some more information about this. I want to make sure that there's no, like, seedy underbelly to this thing that I'm not aware of. Because
we're not Holocaust deniers. We're anarchists.
No.
Just worse to most people, I think.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because obviously, like, I can only explain so much, but it was just, you know. Well, so yeah, unlike, it didn't work out. I didn't.
Unlike Schulman, your sister actually has a career in Hollywood to worry about. So there.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there will not be any pictures.
Well, he was going to be in Hollywood, but then, you know, there's Watergate that happened to Nixon. Well, he had Liongate that happened to him when Liongate told him that his movie wasn't good enough. Clearly, this was a scandal.
Who's the guy that's in, who's the guy that played Hercules who's in Schulman's movie?
Sorbo.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Sorbo.
Sorbo. Yeah, what is your sister's Sorbo number?
I don't actually know. I'm not sure.
I hope it's over 8.
Well, yeah. He's in just about every low budget movie, it seems. So,
Michael,
and she's in every, like, TV show that's kind of mainstream that I shouldn't like but do. I mean, she's been in, like, what, Bones, CSI?
Bones, CSI.
Bones is horrible.
House. I've seen every Bones and every House. House is much better than Bones.
Bones is not good at all.
This is objectively true. Oh, Bones was fine. I watched it.
No, Bones is a hate crime.
Bones lives on my block in Kensington.
Every time I'm like, okay, this show is actually fairly interesting, they just slam on the brakes and go, so, tell me about your boyfriend. And for like 10 minutes, they're just talking about relationships.
Oh, but he's supposed to be, his last name is Booth, and he's supposed to be like the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the imaginary person who killed the imaginary president that Steve doesn't like.
Don't care.
That's
boring show.
Yeah.
Terrible. And that's Redemption. Don't watch Bones.
I want to do a shout out to the guy who's risking his life to play the Fiends on the air on one of those community radio stations in a country where the president, I'm not going to say what country even, but where the president is like killing dissidents right now. Thank you for your service. That is about the bravest Fiend fan there is.
Wow.
And they're like killing drug addicts too, and then saying they had a gun. And I looked at a picture of 100 of them, and they all had the same two guns in their hand in the pictures that the police took somehow. Yeah. I have the documents.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yes.
Instead of crystal and not, it was crystal meth.
Well. You can't trade sex for gold. You can't trade hate for death. You can't get your wiener hard.